This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda Senior Market Analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Good morning from London. Good afternoon to you, Kelvin.
Good afternoon over my end, and good morning to you, Johnny.
After last week's roller coaster, where we saw some really dramatic losses across the board, things have started this week much calmer, haven't they?
Yes, for sure. So if you look at the dramatic spike up in the VIX index, which is the implied volatility for the benchmark US S&P 500, yes, indeed, it spiked up all the way up to the level of 60, a level that's not being seen for many, many years. After a while, it starts to actually normalize throughout the trading week for last week. So we are talking about right now, the VIX itself is still rather relatively not a low level, but at least it actually kind of retraced last week's dramatic push up to hover around at the 20 to 21 level as we are speaking right now. So some form of normalization that has been starts to creep back into the financial markets.
Looking at the US markets, Kelvin, there's still a lot of catching up to do. A big gap between where we were on, say, July the 31st and where we are now.
Yes, precisely. So even though if you look at the S&P 500, it almost recovered off last Monday dramatic sell-off. So the S&P 500 ended last week almost unchanged, but it's still way below its 20 and the 50-day moving average, which is trading below it right now. That's a distance about 2% more to go. So what we could see over here is that around this 20 and the 50-day moving average, which is acting as a intermediate resistance at this 5,450 level on the S&P 500. So in order to see much more promising move by the S&P 500 to recover its earlier July losses, it got to actually clear above this intermediate resistance at 5,450 before we could say that more or less the medium-term bearish pressure has been eradicated.
One commodity that's certainly on the up, Kelvin, is oil, with Brent crude now surpassing that important $80 a barrel figure. What is behind that?
Yeah, sure. So if you look at oil prices, the rise in oil prices also came pretty much in line of the rebound that was seen in the major US stock indices last week, as well as some of the global stock indices as well, moving into the state of much more normalization after that dramatic sell-off last Monday. So another reason for oil to actually recover a fair bit was also due to the fact that given that there's this lingering risk of a global recession that is more or less in the narrative of the financial markets right now, it could actually kind of create a further negative feedback loop in terms of negative animal spirits in the oil market. And that could also lead to kind of a rumor in the next OPEC Plus meeting that could be a possibility of OPEC members to extend its voluntary cuts instead of end of September. Right now, we are talking about a possibility of extending it to the year end.
We've got some very important data coming up in the next few days, particularly in the United States, Kelvin, with probably US CPI top of the tree. All eyes will be on that, particularly with the turbulence of the last few days and what's going to happen next in terms of rates and how quickly or how deep those cuts will be.
Yeah, Johnny, for sure. Definitely the US inflation number will be very, very main focus on one of the main focus for market participants, given the fact that right now it's almost priced in for the Fed to actually kickstart its first interest rate cut in the September FOMC. So if you look at the core inflation numbers for the US, the expectation is for it to inch down much lower to 3.2% year on year from 3.3% year on year that was printed in the previous month of June. So if it comes in within market expectation, very clearly, it actually shows us that the inflationary trend in US continues to abate. That means we're talking about deceleration of inflationary trend in the US to go down to as low as around, we call it about 2 years ago, in April 2021. So that could more or less put a nail in the coffin that the Fed has enough data to actually embark on its interest rate cut cycle. Then the next step market participants going to watch out right now over here is whether is the US economy right now in a soft landing or a hard landing. That means previously, yes, we want to see a very, very clear deceleration trend in US inflation numbers, which we got it. And the next step, market participants will be this particular fear that the Fed, in fact, came in a bit late this time around. Because if the Fed were to kickstart interest rate cut cycle, while the US economy is already in the motion of a recession, that may not gel well for risk assets. But that's we have really witnessed about 2 weeks ago, where we see a synchronized risk-off scenario taking shape. So other than the inflation numbers on Wednesday, market participants will also be focusing their attention on Thursday, which will see the release of the US retail sales figure for July. And do not forget, retail sales is more or less has a kind of a very strong implication for US economic growth, given the fact that close to 3/4 of US growth is driven by the services sector, which retail spending is part of them. So for the retail sales figure, if you look at from on a month-on-month basis for the month of July, market is expecting a slight improvement from 0% to 0.3% month on month. So that is a very actually a low ball figure. So if retail sales figure managed to meet expectation, we could start to see lower odds of this hard landing narrative being a creep back into the US financial markets or even the global markets. But however, if we start to see retail sales figure coming in very, very lackluster, we're talking about zero growth for the month of July, then that could start to reel its head about that so-called hard landing scenario that's really in place in the US, i.e. the Fed is actually late in the game. And the next scenario over here is if the Fed was to actually increase the pace of its rate cut, that means market participants are looking at 25 basis point cut each for the September meeting, followed by the November meeting. But due to the hard landing scenario in the US, as indicated by more and more data that is actually indicating weak internal demand US, the Fed may be forced for a much more higher magnitude of cuts, but that doesn't really gel well for risk assets because markets are always forward-looking. A jumbo cut that is getting more and more priced into the market actually implied further weakness in the US economy, and also given the fact that due to the highly valuated tech stocks that are actually driving the bulk of the US market gains since 2 years ago, will be getting hit on a realization of this high profit expectation, which has a tone down, and that could actually have a negative knock-on impact on the US stock market, which also eventually will create a negative feedback loop again into the rest of the world, something that we witnessed 2 weeks ago.
Kelvin, what do you think the worst scenario for markets could be following CPI figures?
Yes, I think following the CPI figures and as well as the retail sales figures. So if the retail sales figures is coming in very weak at, let's say, zero growth or even worse still negative month-on-month growth, coupled with uptick in geopolitical risk tension. Do not forget, what we see over here is there is a risk of this Iran, Israel, and Hamas, these three, we call it a faction, that hasn't been solved at this point in time. We talk about retaliation attacks between Iran, Israel, with this ongoing conflict in the Middle East, could actually create a supply crunch in the Red Sea region, especially impacting the shipping routes over there. That could actually start to see a supply shock in terms of inflationary pressure. So that scenario could actually create another risk of stagflation risk coming back into the market. Because at this moment in time, the odds of a stagflation risk pricing by the market participant is very, very low at this juncture. So if this worst case scenario were to take shape, this stagflation risk pricing will start to increase again. And that could be a very, very negative scenario for the financial markets.
Okay, Kelvin Wong in Singapore, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.